Trinity. Lord, to be in this place, O God, in this house, in your presence, O God, with your people, O Lord, and I pray as we lift up our voices unto you, Lord, and as you look down upon us, God, that you would give us grace in your sight, Lord,
this morning,
that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, in this place, that you would minister to every heart, Lord, every soul, Lord, in this place. God, you know our needs, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would touch, amen, all your people, God. Strengthen, O Lord, and do a work, O God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Minister unto us, O Lord. Amen, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, God. And I pray that you minister to those, Lord, who are, amen, ill, Father, who are afflicted, who are infirm, O God. I pray for them, Lord. I pray for their healing. I pray for their, amen, deliverance. I pray for God's salvation, Lord. Put your hand upon them, Lord. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Minister unto them, Lord. We stand upon your word, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. We receive it. We receive that promise. Lord, I pray, God, that you would minister unto us, Lord, in this place. That our ears will be open, Lord, that we may hear.
Thank you for your word.
Our eyes that we can see, Lord, and our hearts that we can be converted unto you, Lord. And I pray, Father, bind us together that we can be one body, Lord, of one spirit, Lord, in one mind, in one accord together in this place, Lord. Let your word minister unto us, Lord, quicken us according to your word and strengthen your people.
Thank you.
And Lord, we pray for Brother Rich, Lord, Zephyr, his family. We pray that you administer to them, Lord, as they are going through the final days, Lord. Amen. With their grandmother, Arlene, Lord, I pray that you would touch them as they minister tonight, Lord, and then tomorrow at the funeral. God, let your grace, O Lord, be experienced, Lord. Let it be felt. Your love, O God. Amen, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let it be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Maybe shoes if you want to. Is there anybody here to do? Okay. Okay, so those of you that are going to the other classes, you are dismissed. Praise God. Amen. We'll have a few in here anyway. But that's okay. Because the scripture says, wherever two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Praise God. How many of you are persuaded this morning?
Amen.
I was reading in the Word of God. I was just reading in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul was standing before King Agrippa and began to share with him his testimony about how God ministered to him. And so he asked the king a question. He said, "Do you believe? Do you believe these things?" And King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian."
Amen.
And Paul said, "Well, I'm just paraphrasing. I wish you were. I wish you were persuaded."
Amen.
That's kind of what we deal with when it comes to the ministry of the word. We want to present it in such a way where you can understand receive the word in such a way that you will believe and you will obey. Praise God. That's the whole reason why we're here. If you would turn with me in your Bibles this morning and to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, something that was laid on my heart, and praise God, I just want to follow the leading of God's Spirit, because obviously he knows what you and I are going through. You ever notice this? How many of you ever come to the thought or understanding that, you know, when we hear the word of God, we obviously say to ourselves, we say, well, that doesn't pertain to me right now. I think that's probably a good percentage of everybody.
Yep.
Has no relevance right now, but did you realize this? Maybe it may not, but maybe in the next few days it might have some relevance.
Amen.
And as I was praying and as I was seeking God, and of course this has been laid on my heart for a few days now. It's a burden that the Lord gave to me, and I've been carrying it and aligning my thoughts to it. And I know something that a lot of God's people are going through certain things right now, confronting certain things in life, and certain matters in life, whatever they may be. And obviously, when it comes to that, you know, when we face the pressures, when we face peer pressure, when we go through trials, when we go through temptation, that's a word everybody kind of like, it's difficult sometimes, but you know, but I want to say that God does know. God does know what you are going through, and God does know what you need. So if you wouldn't turn with me in the Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, if I gave you the chapter already. Verse number 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So whatever we are all going through, you all know, whatever it is. And I was thinking about this when the Lord laid this on my heart. And of course, what he's talking about here, that we have a high priest, a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold on to our profession. Let us hold on to our, you know, it says profession, but when we talk about that, when he's saying our profession, it's basically what we believe and what we confess.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Your confession of faith, what you believe. Because obviously the only reason why that we've come to where we are right now in the Lord is because we believed. And so because we believe, we confess. We confessed our belief. How many of you are still confessing your belief right now?
Amen.
In him.
Jesus.
I think it's really important. It's got to be an ongoing confession. And that's the reason why Paul admonished the people, the church at Rome in Romans 10, when he said that that we're supposed to, you know, as he said, acknowledge him. And let's go there. So you can kind of get an understanding what I'm talking about. But in Romans chapters 10 and verse number 17, I believe it is. Excuse me. In verse number 9, excuse me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to saints.
Yeah. Right.
Let's make that
real clear.
Really clear this morning. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, because sometimes we need to do that.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Living our experience with God is ongoing.
Yep.
And you know, the only reason why is because of what we, you and I encounter as we walk with the Lord, because we're going to come across a lot of things in our life, a lot of experiences. And so he says, to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see that? That's why it's important to always confess. So when he's talking about Jesus being our high priest, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Praise God. I want to address that this morning. I want you to understand. And I was thinking about this, and when he's talking about going to the, therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we're to come boldly. What is he saying? He's admonishing us. Obviously, when we come to that place where we're going through something, whatever it may be, if it's temptation, if it's trial, if it's persecution, if it's tribulation, if it's affliction, if it's infirmities, if it's sicknesses, whatever it may be, when we are going through something, guess what? You and I have a place that we can go. We have a place that we can go so that we can find the help that we need. And we all need help. We need his help. And so when we're talking about this, look what he talks about. He's saying, come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Now, I want you to, you know, something, I was thinking about it when he was talking about the throne of grace, because, you know, the high priest ministered at the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was first represented as the seat of judgment, because that's where, you know, to come before God, his judgment was there. So it was known as the seat of judgment, but it was also known as the mercy seat. So in other words, whatever way they approached, they would either receive God's judgment or they received God's mercy. But look what Paul says, or look what the writer says in Hebrews. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. You notice how he says that? The throne of grace. So obviously, he's not talking about judgment. He's talking about grace. So because he's talking about grace, listen to this. We come to find that what we need of the Lord. And you know what we need right now? We all need his mercy. So because whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is, amen, that we are experiencing, there's probably a lot of reasons why we're going through what we're going through. Amen. But we're going through them.
Right.
and as I quoted the other night, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you don't have to go there. All things work together for good to them who love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So everything that you and I go through, guess what? There's a good reason why we go through that. Whether it be affliction, whether it be trial, whether it be temptation, whether it be, amen, a tribulation, persecution, so on and so forth. We all experience these things for a reason. Praise God.
Amen.
So when we talk about this, come boldly unto the throne of grace. You know, here's a thought that came to me, because I know a lot of us right now, we feel like, because of what we're going through, and it could be, you know, on any level of, you know, trial, tribulation, persecution, sickness. We have experienced a lot of sickness lately, haven't we?
Amen.
A lot of people, amen, been going through a lot of sickness. So obviously that something that qualifies. And even, you know, temptation.
Yep.
Even, is everybody ready for this? Mm-hmm. Even for failures.
Yep.
Because that happens. So as I was studying this, the thought came to my mind when he was talking about the throne of grace. Come, go boldly unto the throne of grace. The thought came to my mind so that we can find mercy for our failures. The throne of grace speaks of receiving not what one deserves. Are you listening to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The throne of grace speaks of receiving not what one deserves, but rather the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason why people hesitate going to the Lord when they go through something, especially when they have failed.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel worthy.
Yeah.
Seems like that's a card the devil likes to play. You're not worthy.
Yeah.
But remember who you are.
Yep.
You're a child of God. You're called by his name, so you're worthy to go, regardless if you fail God or not. So that's why it's really important for us. So he talks about, I'm going to read the same scripture verse that we just read in 15, chapter, verse number 15 in this verse here. But listen to what the Amplified Bible says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every aspect as we are, yet without sinning. So, here's the thing. This is something that I always hear people make the statement, oh, you don't know what I'm going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we may not know what you are going through, but let me tell you something. Wherever you are, Jesus was already there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever level of sin, whatever level of affliction, whatever level of temptation, whatever level of trials, and let me throw this in there, whatever level of trouble.
Right. Yep.
He understands this because he went through it all.
Yep.
Woo. And here's the other thing. Because a lot of times we say that, we're alone.
Yeah.
No, you're not alone.
No. Yeah. That's right.
Because he promised he would never leave you nor forsake you.
Right. Yeah.
But then let me add this on there. He was the only person that faced all of these things alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
So your experience isn't that unique to where I'm the only one that's going through this.
Yeah.
No, it's not. He knows what it's like to feel fatherless.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He knows what it's like to be single.
Yeah.
Lonely.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. Not loved.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Forsaken.
Yeah. Right.
Going through so many, amen, pains.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at the scripture. Let's look at the scripture. When we talk about, you know, when we said we do not have a high priest, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 4. Let's just take a look at this the scripture verse. But when it talks about we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every aspect as we are, yet without sinning. Woo! As when I get done with this particular passage, I want to kind of show you the significance of this. But verse number 4 in Isaiah 53: Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. By the way, who's he speaking of?
Christ.
Jesus. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So think about what Isaiah is saying here. When he said he surely he hath borne our griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs. In other words, you know what he did? He carried.
Amen.
He carried our griefs. You ever, if we want to put this into perspective, if you see what Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before his arrest, and the agony that he went through, coming to that place where it was going to be his final hour, and he was going to obviously fulfill the purpose that the reason he came into the world, that was to die. Mm-hmm. That was to die for the sins of the whole world. Now let's put this in perspective. So if he was to die for the sins of the whole world, we're talking about every human being that was born from the time of Adam to the time to the end of this dispensation. Yeah. Every human being that was going to be born, guess what? He carried all their griefs.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine? Can you imagine this? Now I want you to put this in perspective. You know what it is that you experience and what you feel when you're going through some kind of hardship. Huh?
Amen.
The trouble in your mind and the trouble in your spirit. The trouble you go through. Your worries, your anxieties, your fears, your frustration. You know what that's like. We all suffer it because we're human beings. We all go through that time of, man, you know, what is this? Why do I feel this way? But obviously, amen, you need to learn to tune into your human spirit and realize how real this is. And so we feel that weight of it. And guess what? It's hard for us to deal with it. And in order to deal with it, we've got to do something, don't we? But in order to do something, guess what? We always seem to make the wrong choice. We do the wrong thing to deal with it. But we know that burden is real. We know it's heavy.
Yep.
The Bible, as Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he's talking about the whole affairs of man, you know what he said? His conclusion was this, that when man lives in this particular realm of his life, guess what? It's all vexation of spirit. In other words, it's troubling of spirit.
Yeah.
So you and I know what that's like, don't we?
Yeah.
When our spirit is troubled, we feel that burden, we feel me. And you know what? How do we confront and how do we deal with? I guarantee you, some of you are probably going through something right now. But here was Jesus. He carried that. He bore our griefs. Guess what? For the whole world. So if you can imagine the weight that you and I experience, can you imagine this? Every weight that all the human life experienced from Adam way to the end of this dispensation, all that weight was heaped upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why he was almost buckled down. Mm-hmm. He buckled down under that weight that the angels had to come and pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! You know why? That's why he uttered that prayer. Lord, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me.
Mm-hmm.
He was feeling the weight of it. He was feeling the reality of all that human nature was experiencing was heaped upon him. So he went through it. But guess what? It wasn't just for himself. It was for the sins of the whole world.
Yep.
Amen. Woo! And we say to ourselves, oh, I don't know if I could get through this.
Wow.
Pay attention. So he almost buckled. He almost gave in. But guess what? He came to his senses when he prayed. Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Praise God. That's our problem. Guess what we always allude to? We always allude to doing our will and not God's will. So he says, he hath borne our griefs. He carried our griefs. You know what that word griefs means? We read it in the King James Version, we say griefs, but you know what that word really means? It means illnesses, sicknesses, afflictions, wounds, injuries. He carried them. So whatever you and I experience, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, he's covered it in all for us. He carried our griefs, and the Bible says, and carried our sorrows. What does that word sorrows mean? It means grief, it means pain, it means suffering. What kind of suffering are you going through right now? What kind of pain are you experiencing? Physical, mental, emotional. God knows. He's carried it for us. He's carried it for us. Okay? So when we think about it in this sense, here's the thing. Now, here's the thing I wanted to share with you. The significance about this. When we think about it, why is it that we experience these things? Why is it that we come under the weight of these things? Now remember, you know how we're connected to it? We're connected to it through our humanity. Because we're still mortal beings. So that's our connection to it. So while we're in this flesh, we're going to be going through some things. And some things, of course, life brings a lot of things at us, doesn't it? Some things we like and some things we don't like. But we go through it all, but we experience it because we're mortal. It's what we go through. So I want you to understand that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If we learn to learn this and understand this, that yes, we go through those things, but guess what? He is here to help us through these things. He is here to help us carry. Man, I wish that God would deliver us just like that from all the things that we experience, but sometimes it doesn't work like that. I wish that God would heal us in whatever we go through in our bodies, but it doesn't work like that. Sometimes there's things that you and I have to go through and experience because that's God's will and his purpose for us. So you think about that. So, but remember this. He was tempted in all points like as we are. So everything that you and I have ever gone through, even now and even in the future, Jesus was there. So here's the reason why. You go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And this is the reason why. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number, let me get my pages here. Verse number, we'll start with verse number, we'll look at verse number 17. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to reconcile, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Amen. What's he talking about? That he became a human being. It would be, it wouldn't really be how would you say, something that would be really comprehended in the mind of God if God didn't humble himself to become a human being. So because he humbled himself and became a man, he opened himself to all the feelings and emotions and frailties of the human mind, body, and spirit. Mm-hmm. He knew what it was like.
Yeah.
So that's why he took upon him the form of man. So look what he says here. Verse number 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted. He suffered being tempted. He knows what it's like. He is able to succor them that are tempted. So in other words, what that means, he is able to succor them. He's able to come to their aid. He's able to help you. Why? Because guess what? He was there before. You know what's really important? And of course, you know, I always jest about being an elder. That's who I am. I'm an elder. I've been through a lot of things. Of course, all of us people who are elders, we've been through a lot of things. We could tell you probably a lot of things about experiencing life. All the hardships, everything about life, we could probably tell you about. We could probably tell you our lessons. We could relate to you what we've gone through. We could relate to you what we've experienced, but we could also relate to you how we were able to go get through it. And that's just like Jesus. When the writer here said that he himself has suffered being tempted, he went through it all. So because he went through it all, he's able to succor them that are being tempted, to help them. So he knows what it's like. So he'll help us to be able to, amen, go through it or deal with it. Face it. Amen. It's really something. We all have a reaction. And how we react, that's the key thing. How are you going to react when all this comes your way? But he's been there and he's done that. So because of that, I'm going to read the Amplified version of the same passage of Scripture. And look what it says. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry of, to assist, to relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. So I want you to realize something. Remember, we're talking about him. We're talking about him coming boldly unto the throne of grace. So here's the thing. I want you to understand. We have a place we can go to. To find help in time of need.
Amen.
Whenever you're going through something, whatever it is, whatever hardship, whatever adversity, whatever affliction, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, guess what? We are not without remedy.
Amen.
We have a place we can go to where we can secure the help that we need.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. And I know we're going through certain things right now. Praise God. I know we are. Amen. So, but when we go through these things, amen, just remember, you have a place you can go to.
Yep.
You have a place you can go to.
Amen.
Amen. And we can overcome.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I was thinking about scripture, and it's in the book of Psalms 34, chapter 34, I think it is, and it says this, it says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles.
Amen.
The poor man cried. Verse number 6. The poor man cried, and the Lord saved him from all his troubles. So when we come to that place of, you know, the mistake everybody that makes, the reason why I'm referencing these passages of scripture, the mistake that everybody makes is they never call out to God.
Yep. Mm. Amen. Amen.
They never call out to God. Share with you, or maybe hopefully awaken you to the reality of being a child of God. Because we do go through certain things, as I'm saying in all this. We will experience certain things. They come our way. There's nothing we can do. Some things we cannot control, but if we understand that, if we can't control them, we just need to accept.
Yeah.
But in this acceptance, we need to realize this. During this time of experiencing certain things that we cannot control, here's the part that you and I need to do. We need to put our lives in His hands.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because there's no way you and I could ever get through or come out in one piece unless we humble ourselves. And so when the psalmist said that, amen, that he said this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all, look what he says, saved him out of all his troubles. Not some, all. So God is always there for you and I. That's why the promise, the Apostle Paul said, he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. But here's the other part of that. The reason why we feel like that is because he doesn't leave us, we leave him.
Amen.
The other one of my favorite ones is Psalm 71:20. It says, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. God will show us great and sore troubles. We'll go through certain things, but did you realize this? Remember this. All things work together for good.
Yeah.
To them who love God and are the called according to His purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So God will show us great and sore troubles. Those things will come along our paths. But look what He says. Look what He says. Thou shalt quicken me, thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, shall give me life, raise me up, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Woo. So whatever it is we're going through, sometimes if it's not something that, sometimes we know that, and we go through certain things, we experience certain things in life, we understand that. And trying to keep ourselves in a place with God that we need to be. And here's the other thing that is kind of a difficult for us when it comes to the matter of temptation. When we're tempted. Because temptation, here's the thing. I want you to understand this. Right away, when we think about temptation, we think about when we're faced with certain things like sin. We think about that temptation. But did you realize this? In a sense, that when I'm speaking about that, it's in a general term where it's not just temptation to sin. Because whenever you're going through something, you're going through any kind of hardship, we understand and realize this. It's difficult for us to deal with it because it's beyond our strength or beyond our means to be able to do anything about it. So what do? Instead of making the right choice and putting our lives in God's hands, guess what we do? We back off.
Yep. Right.
So that's a temptation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your temptation to back off from believing that God is able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. Here's something important. And all the way through the course of life, did you realize this? Did you know that it's a challenge to keep yourself on that path? To keep yourself walking with God, it's a challenge because there's a lot of things that are going to come and try to distract you and force you off of that path. So we got to keep ourselves focused. And so when it comes to that kind of temptation, James chapter 1, you go into James chapter 1 in the New Testament, and verse number 12 there. Amen. Look what it says. Oh, excuse me. James chapter 1. If I could find it myself, it'd be nice. Praise God. And my pages aren't sticking together. James chapter 1, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the scripture says, man. Scripture says, verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. How many of you ever look at temptation as a blessing? I'm pretty sure nobody does. But blessed is that man when temptation comes your way. Guess what? If you're not tried,
wow.
If you're not tried,
that's right.
Because we will be tried.
Yep.
You notice that everybody has a fear of being tempted. Why is it that we have a fear of being tempted? You know what? Because we know that if we have a fear of being tempted, we don't want to face or we don't want to confront.
Amen.
Who's to say that you're going to fall?
Amen.
That's a probability. It's a choice you have. Temptation comes your way. You cannot say, I'm not going to allow myself to fall into temptation. It's going to come no matter what you think. But when it comes, did you realize this? Blessed is a man. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. So to endure temptation, it's going to come. You ever notice how the word says endureth temptation? Temptation comes. And you, if you endure that temptation, when it comes, doesn't mean you have to fail.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to fall.
Yep.
Because you have a choice.
Right.
That's there to try you. How many of you love God?
Yeah.
How many of you have faith in God?
Yeah.
And your faith is going to be tried.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we are to have a negative amen. Look at it, you know, the way we look at it. When we look at it, we say, oh, man. Ooh, there's a lot of good and bad that comes our way.
Yeah. Amen.
But here's the thing. You have an advantage.
Yeah.
So blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, when you go through that trial, when you are tested, he says, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So when it comes your way, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God will never tempt you. The devil loves to tempt you. You know what? When the Lord was sharing with his disciples about what was going to happen and about his crucifixion, his passion, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, Simon Peter said, Lord, and he said, basically he said, Lord, that's not going to happen. But what did Jesus did say? He said, I rebuke thee, Satan, because thou savorest the things that be of men and not of God. In other words, you focus really on men's passions.
Yeah.
And so that's what he does. So when he comes to us, guess what he's going to focus on? He's going to focus on your passions. He's going to focus on your carnal desires, your lust, your lustful appetites. He's going to focus on that. But does that mean that we are to, oh, I don't know if I can pass this test? So God will never tempt you that way. The devil does. But I want you to understand, doesn't mean you have to give in. But every man that is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Yep. So don't say, oh, God tempted me. To be honest with you, God would not, as soon as you leave this building, and you head your own way, you go your own way, you're walking in your own will, he would not lead you down to the bars on Main Street.
Amen.
That's your own doing.
That's right.
He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. So when you come to that place where you see that, when you understand that, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, man, time goes by so fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Man, the devil sure knows how to appeal to the flesh.
Amen.
Especially when you're absent from sin.
Yeah.
He sure knows how to get you to try to make it look good. Tasty. Even the aroma. I always remember when my wife and I first got into the church, and praise God, my old drinking and drugging buddies, probably but like a month or so after we were in church, and of course my wife was witnessing to a friend that she had, and her husband was one of my cohorts back in the world, and he found out, oh really? So guess what he did? He loaded up his car and got some of the other cohorts, picked up some liquor and probably like we always did, some dope, some grass. They came over to our house, to our place that we were staying, our townhouse, and my wife says, uh-oh. So I said, what? She was looking out the window. She said, Manuel's here. I said, really? She said, yep, and he's got a car full. So I was thinking, oh my. But I knew what was going to happen. So when I went out there, sure enough, he got out. He was going to come. I stepped out of the door and I started walking to where they were. And so he looks back in the car and he makes a nod. And here comes the other guy, comes out. He brings out a case of Bud tall cans and puts it on the hood. And they both stand there. I get up to him, and then the other guy breaks it off like that. Then pops the top and goes like this and puts it right here in front of me. Man, you could smell those. Mm-hmm. That smell of beer.
Yeah.
Cold beer on a hot day, and that beer can was just sweating. Man, the devil made it look good.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck it in my face, and I said, no thank you. I said, God, I've changed my life. I said, I'm living for the Lord. And I said, I don't want that no more. I don't desire it. So right away, I thought there was going to be a fight on my hands. But you know what he said? Wow. If that's what you want, he said, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
They checked me out. They seen I was serious about living for God. How many of you, when you face temptation like that on that level, when they stick it right in front of your face, here it is.
Yep.
You can get a whiff of it. Man, the flesh says, oh, that That cold beer on a hot day. Think about Jesus. You just wonder about the temptations he experienced during his lifetime. Obviously, there were a number of them. He was proven. He was tried. He was tested. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he was without sin. Can you imagine the temptations that came to him? And we say it can't be done.
Wow.
You say it can't be done. Hallelujah. I like making you all squirm. Because you need to be confronted with the truth.
Amen.
You think it can't be done? Let me tell you something. I tell you, it can be done.
Amen.
You can be an overcomer.
Yep.
You can become a saint.
Yes.
Amen. So you think about that. He will, what does he say? But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that he may be able to bear. Guess what? You will be able to overcome. Here's the thing. I'm running out of time already. Hebrews chapter 5, here's a beautiful passage of scripture. Verse number 7, and look what it says here. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now, I want to make a couple points here about this scripture. Talking about Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him. Guess what? God could have saved him from that death. But you know what? Here's the thing about it. Jesus submitted himself to his will. Even though he cried, the Bible says, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him. When he did that, yet, guess what he did? He surrendered himself to God's will.
Amen.
Even to death. But look what it says. Verse number 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So here's the other side of that. Why is it that when we go through certain things, when we suffer certain things, guess what? The reason why is if God's purpose is fulfilled in us, we're going to learn.
Yeah.
We're going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
He learned. How many of you are really learning to submit yourself to God's will?
Amen.
To really learning to trust in God. Praise God. Through suffering, learned he obedience. One thing on my mind right now, getting to the point where, you know, in my life where, you know, I think about, oh, I wonder when that day is going to happen when I actually step down from my role as a pastor. I was asked that question not too long ago by a couple brethren, and out of nowhere, just in discussion, I said, I haven't even been thinking about it yet alone, you know. But when that day comes, if that day comes where the Lord says, okay, you've done what you have fulfilled your calling, And now you can step down from, you know, your office, the office of a pastor. And you, here's the thing. Think about that. And do you have anybody to take your place? One brother asked me the question. Is anybody? I said, you know what? I haven't even thought about that. I don't know. But, well, that's something that could possibly happen. You need to be prepared for it. Well, I'm not thinking that far ahead. But I was thinking about this. When I was asked those questions, the first thing I thought about was this. The first thing on my mind was this. God's will.
Right. Right.
God's will for my life. I understand God's will. And I don't want to be out of God's will. I want to make sure that whatever I do is God's will.
Amen.
I just don't want to make any decision on the top of my head thinking, oh, this is what I need to do. No, I consider this. I consider, is it God's will for me to do this? I think that's really important.
Amen.
Through suffering, learned he obedience. He learned obedience by the things we suffered. He suffered. So even us, we learn. God's purpose is this, that we learn obedience by the things that we encounter, by the things that we experience, by the things that we suffer. We learn obedience. Obedience to what? To his will.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I don't want to make any move to the left, to the right. Going forward, I'll never go backward.
Yeah. Right?
Unless it's God's will.
Amen.
So you think about that. Man, I'll finish with this scripture verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Here's the thing about the children of God. One thing that we have to realize and understand. As a child of God, you know why we suffer?
Disobedience.
Yeah, yes. Disobedience is one reason why we suffer. There's a lot of reasons why we suffer. But here's the thing, we suffer because of, obviously, the choices we make, the decisions we make going against God's will. So we suffer. Anybody ever hear this? You suffer the consequences.
Amen.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Peter said, arm yourselves, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Guess what? Here's the thing. We suffer for our sins. We suffer the consequences of our sins. But did you realize this? When you walk with God, when you are obedient to his will, when you're in fellowship with him, guess what? We suffer. We suffer because guess what? We're not living in sin no more. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Man, the devil don't like that when you're living for God.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to make it difficult. Mm-hmm. But thank God, like he said, we have a place that we can go to.
Amen.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace in time of need. So there's a place we can go to so that we can find strength. So that we can be ministered to, that we can be taken care of. Thank you very much for your patience and your attendance this morning. We'll go on our break already. So, amen.
Praise the Lord,
Father.
Praise the Lord, sister. Yeah.
I'm great. Just listen,
Harold. No, they're not recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
Need rhubarb, and I know they have some. Good says they've got a bunch in their backyard.
Really? Because I haven't seen any. Unless it's. I haven't seen any back there. Back there.
Huh?
Oh, look again. I didn't see any.
Okay. If you find it. Let
okay,
me know.
Okay, I will. I'll
thank
check.
You.
Right.
Kind of needed today. Nothing like running right on the last second.
No? Mercy for our failures.
Yeah, Judy's coming out.
How many people?
Pretty.